I want to say thank you for being here. What a well, man, it is incredible to start the new year and to see you here. Thank you for joining us in worship. I also want to say if you're new around here, if you've not been around in a long time, or this is your first time here, just a little, pathway. We believe the things that we are singing. All right. We believe the Bible. We're here talking about the Word of God. We're proclaiming that we trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And our biggest hope this week, today, as a matter of fact, is that you would come and surrender your life to Him also, and that you might find the joy and the life in Jesus that we have found. The Bible means a lot to us. In fact, it means so much that we're starting a brand new series, or we did last week, and we're starting at the very beginning, because we think at the very beginning of the Bible is where, if we can get that right, if we can understand that, if we can begin to see that, it's going to launch us in directions, and we'll kind of begin to go, oh, okay, that's why this is happening. You know, the greatest issues, the greatest questions in life are answered in the very beginning of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Who am I? Why am I here? How did I get here? What's my purpose in life? All of those philosophical, existential questions that you hated in philosophy class when you were going through and understand more of those types of things. I think Genesis 1, 2, and 3 also help us with some of the greatest cultural issues of our day. And today, we're going to spend some time talking about some of those. My hope is that we can do that in a way that is winsome, in a way that is loving and compassionate, but yet also we can do it in such a way that we realize that, man, this is the Word of God, and we have to follow what it is that He has to say. Last week in Genesis chapter 1, we're still in Genesis chapter 1. Last week, we did Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, really. In the beginning, God created. And in that, we were talking about that God is the one who created everything, that everything began with Him. Remember, God is like no other. He is other, all right? He's not like you and me. He always has been. He always will be. He is the uncreated one. That's the God that we serve. And when the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth, we believe that as followers of Jesus Christ. No matter what the different hypotheses are, the educated guesses is what a hypothesis is. That's what we were taught. And no matter the speculation, no matter the theories, no matter the philosophies, we believe that God created. And last week, as we were talking about how God created and all the different things, you know, we have so many teachers in our body. And I want to stop for just a moment, and I want to say this to you, especially if you are a public school educator in some way, whether you are in the lower schools, the middle schools, the high schools, or in public higher education, your job is very difficult. It's very difficult, and I appreciate, and I'm so thankful you're where you are. As a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm so thankful that you believe His Word and that you are standing on His Word. Because today, listen, we're being bombarded, we're everywhere we turn, something is coming at us that goes against what the Bible has to tell us, especially even in the very beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. And as we continue on, whether it's your television, your radio, your podcast, your Netflix, your social media, it doesn't matter what it is. And you teachers are standing on the front line. And I want to say thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for where you are. You are prayed for often by me and my wife, but you're prayed for often by our staff and by this church. We are thankful for where you are. Now, I also want to say that I'm thankful that we live where we live. You realize that we have states where we have people who are coming from everywhere to Tennessee because of what we stand for and things that are here in our state. You know, I'm thankful that today in our state that depending on your biological sex, you have to go to the bathroom that agrees with your biological sex. I'm thankful that our teachers, our educators do not by law have to call a preferred pronouns. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Teachers in here, thank you for what you do. Thank you for standing. I know you have a difficult job, and there are some of you, you've probably even wanted to bail. Hey, ripcord, I'm out. Thank you for standing in your mission field where God has placed you. You are prayed for. Today, we're going to continue in that, though, even as it relates to what we have to talk about in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, we're going to read verses 26 through 31. And as we read Genesis 26 through 31, as is our custom, I hope that you'll open up your Bibles and we're going to read. Today, you're going to see God's plan, we are going to see God's portrait, and God's purpose. God's plan, his portrait, and his purpose. So if you have your Bibles, stand with me as we read God's word together. Genesis chapter 1, if you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen behind you. Behind me, not you. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast, of the earth, and every bird of the heavens, to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. You can be seated. You know, there are many religions in the world, and many of them do not even have a creation story. So that when we talk about that we believe the word of God, this is the word of God, and we go back to a created story, this is the launching pad for so many. So for us, this shouldn't be unusual for us to see that God himself created. But we have to deal when we're talking about God's plan. Very first thing, God's plan is this. Verse 26, there's some unique statements there real quick. It says, "Let us," did you see that? "Let us make man in our image." Let us make man in our, who's God talking to? Who is us and who is our? You know, a lot of people think that he's talking about here angels. He's looking at the angels who are around him and let us make man in our own image. But I don't believe that is who he's talking about, because the Bible tells us that we weren't made in the image of angels. We were made in the image of God. We were made in the image of God. In fact, Isaiah chapter 40, you don't have to look there right now. I want you to write it down, because I would like for you to go back and see it for yourself. But in Isaiah chapter 40, we're told that God didn't consult with anybody. In fact, we sang that just a few minutes ago in our songs. I hope you listen and read the words that we're singing. God consulted nobody when it came to the creation of the world, to the creation of all the created order. So we know he's not talking about the angels. So who was he talking to? I believe from the very beginning of Scripture, what you see here is that he's talking about the Godhead. Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us, the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." He is one, one God. Yet we see and we know, we see and we know that even in the very beginning, that when God was creating, it says that he was creating, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. The New Testament tells us that in Christ, everything that was created by him and for him. So the one true living God, who is one in essence, but reveals himself to us in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Some of you right now are going, "Wow, how's it happen?" I wish I could tell you exactly how that happens. What I can do is say this, that God is completely other. And so to try to define who God is, we can only use what he has given us, and we can't go past that. We can't go forward or past it. He has chosen to reveal himself as one. You realize that there's only three monotheistic, one God, three monotheistic religions. There's Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. We stand with the Jewish people from the Old Testament standpoint. We believe in one God. We believe that he said that there is a Messiah coming. The difference between us and Jews is that we believe Jesus Christ, his one and only son, is the Messiah, and he has come. They're still waiting and looking. We would say that he has come. He is here. We have surrendered our lives. Our friends who are Muslim, who follow Islam, they would tell us that we are haram, heresy. We are in heresy because they would say they only serve one God. There's no way that this is, you're serving three when you talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Listen, we believe the word of God when God says in Deuteronomy, I am one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, he is one. We serve one God who has chosen to reveal himself all throughout Scripture as three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Some of you right now are going, well, how do I explain that to my friends? You know what you do? You open the Word and you stand on the Word. Don't try to come up with a cute illustration. Your illustration will break down. The Word of God will stand forever. So you stand on what the Bible, the whole testament of the Scripture, teaches us. You know, with that, this is very important because God planned your and my creation. It's not spontaneous. We didn't come here through meteorites crashing the earth and single-celled organisms that came together and we evolved. That did not happen. The Bible tells us that he said, let us make man in our own image. He created us. This speaks immense value. This speaks immense respect. This dignity. Listen, this is why we stand for life as followers of Christ. Last year, I guess it'd probably been maybe 18 months ago now, Roe v. Wade was overturned. Now, I don't get political in the pulpit. You know that. But I do speak to our cultural issues where the Bible speaks to them. And the Bible teaches us that the death of a baby is abortion and is murder. And so we stand against that. We stand for the right to life. You realize that there are still places in our United States that want to make abortion legal and easy access. And I want to make sure you hear me. Abortion downplays the fact that you're killing a baby. Killing a baby. But I even want to go further than that and say this, that we're not just for right to life for the unborn. We're right for life for those who are born. I don't care if you're old, and especially, listen, you realize there's a move today called euthanasia. It's called the right to die, the ability to die peacefully. Listen, I want to die peacefully on God's timing. He's written all my days before one has happened. It's not just, listen, it doesn't matter if you're old or young. You have rights, dignity, value. It doesn't matter if you're high socioeconomic or low socioeconomic. It doesn't matter if you have all your limbs or you got four limbs and three limbs and two coming out of here. It doesn't matter if you're blonde-haired, blue-eyed. It doesn't matter if you're black-haired, black-eyed. I don't care because God created you, because he has planned it, because he's the one who created and crafted you. You have value and dignity today. Whether we agree about even whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, you have value and dignity because you were created by God. That means life, all of life is sacred. God planned your life. He created your life. He shaped you. That's what the Scripture teaches. So it was God's plan. Look at the second thing that we can see in this passage. Not only was it God's plan, but you're God's portrait. Look at verse 27. Genesis 1:27 says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, each week you hear me say, when you see a word repeated, it's pretty important. One verse, three times, what is the word that is repeated there? Oh, come on now. Created. He talks about in one verse, three different times, he's used the word created. Now, do you know, are you catching what he's wanting us to know? Words matter, don't they, wives? Ladies, words matter. Do you understand what he's trying to get across to you and I? He's getting across that God himself is the one who created us. Not only were we made by God, we were made in his image. In Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, which is what the Old Testament was written in, the word man right here can mean two different things. It can mean, it can have a biological sex connotation, as in me, man, not Amy, female, man. But it can also mean mankind. And we know by the context here, this is speaking about mankind. It says, he created man, and then it goes on to say, male and female, he created them. So all of us are created by God, specifically in the way that we are designed. You know, when babies are born, well, let me go back. When my daughter was born almost 30 years ago, there were a few complications. They weren't serious complications, but it took quite a while. She was born, and immediately, I don't know why they do this, but back then they did this, immediately they took that child and they brought in some photographer to do a newborn shot. I don't know why they did that, because it was not pretty at all. She would say that. I mean, it was not a good thing. Somewhere along the line, there was an administrator that said, we got to stop this kind of stuff. Let's give them 2 or 3 days. Let the head kind of come back into shape. Put some nice baby clothes on them. Made a little baby glamour shot. When I was born, up through probably high school, I looked like my mom. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed. This was blonde at one point. It's now silver. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed. Somewhere in my adult life, I began to take on the physical characteristics and looks of my father. Today, I look more like my father. You know that no child, you hear this a lot with parents, moms and dads, they'll say, they look like this, and then all of a sudden, they look like you or me or this person. But then when they start doing some characteristics like someone, well, he got that from his daddy. Listen, when the Bible says we were created in the image of God, he's not talking about physical. Why? Because we know God is spirit. This is talking about spiritual attributes, spiritual qualities, like the ability being created in his image to be able to think, to reason, to have rationale, to discern, to create, to know right from wrong, to have a soul, the ability to have community and relationship, just like the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in community. This is what it means to be made in God's image. Now, if you'll remember last week, in the creation of the plants, the trees, the animals, he talked about creating them in chapter 1, each according to his own kind. Did you recognize in that section that he never talks about sex? He doesn't talk about male and female. Now, we know it's important, right? There are male and female. They were created, male and female, the animals. But God is wanting to point something out to you and to me who were created in his image, that we were created, the Bible tells us, male and female. Male and female. That's how he created us. Now, I want to speak a couple of things here really quickly, and I want to be able to do this compassionately, but this has huge, huge implications for you and me. Grand implications. Gigantic implications, if you will. This is huge for us, and I want you to begin to catch this. Here's the first thing is this. If you're writing some things down, I hope you are. If you're writing some things down, male and female are completely equal. I want to make sure you hear me. Our value, our dignity, and our worth before God is equal. because we have the image of God in us. Mankind, he created us, male and female. That's a huge, huge implication, because in the day, in the ancient Near East, women were property. In fact, it is written in historians that there's only the only thing worse than being a female was to be a dog. Women had no rights, they had no standing. Yet what we know in the garden before sin broke everything, and still today, I would say, we have equal value and worth and dignity before the Lord because he created us. There should be an amen there by men specifically, all right? We have equal value, dignity because God created us. The second truth is this. Because of this, this opposes the thought that a person can decide what their sex is or that it can be fluid. Because the scripture tells us that he created us male and female. Now, before I get too far into this, because I am going to speak to this, I do believe there is a real thing called gender dysphoria. I do believe that there are people who struggle and have feelings, thoughts, that I'm trapped in this body, but I'm really this. I do believe that that is a real thing. Walk with me here, though. 20 years ago, you would never have heard someone say, I'm using me for an example, I'm a female trapped in a man's body. I'm not. I want to make sure you know that. Never thought that. No one's ever told me that. But today, it is possible for your child or you to be in relationship with someone who is, they're letting their child wait. They're not classifying this kid because they want him or her, whatever that child chooses to be, to identify. You realize that the Bible, as a if you are a follower of Jesus, I need you to hear this. The Bible says that he created mankind, male and female, he created them. Very real and reputable websites, depending on which one you want to go to, tells us today that there are somewhere between 50 and 107 different gender identifications. Do you realize that the Bible tells us that God created mankind and he created them male and female? Now, as compassionately as I can, I want to make sure that you hear me. There are people who struggle with gender dysphoria. We should pray for them. We should walk in their lives. Just like there are people who struggle being faithful to their heterosexual spouse, we should walk in their lives. We should have compassion on them. We should speak truth to them in love, because I need you to know the Bible says that both are wrong. They are sin before God. And what we do is we stand on the word of God and we walk in their lives. Today, if you have a brother, a sister, a friend who is struggling in this area, I want you to know how, listen, God created you. He created you male and female. It is immutable biology, not changing psychology. You realize that the word gender is never used in the scripture. The word gender is a very new word. It was created in 1955, popularized in the 1960s. It is a psychology and psychiatric word, of which is a real deal. But the answer is not surgery, it is help. And the Bible tells us that God created us male and female, equal dignity. He created us. The term is a sex, male and female. Our bodies were created on purpose for a divine purpose. Do you realize that all the way to the core, whether it was your genetics, your DNA, your chromosomes, they all scream male, female. And it is possible emotionally to be in a quandary. But again, it's not surgery, it's the word of God. Number three, ladies, I want to speak to you for just a moment. Men, I need you to listen up. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. I want you to look at it with me. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord said to God, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Woman being called a helper in here. Ladies, I want you to hear this. Ladies, A woman being called helper is not demeaning, because all throughout the Old Testament, God is called man's helper. And that would not never be a derogatory. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I'm going to have to go back, because when I go back, then I will send thee the helper. The word helper here is a word that it gives the connotation like a puzzle. There are two pieces who come together. Next week, when we talk about marriage, male and female, he created them. Man leaves and cleaves. They come together and they are one flesh. We are fit together, male and female, like a puzzle, if you know what I mean. That is by God's design. That's by God's design. He has created you. He has created my wife as a helper fit for me. That word fit means complementary. Do you know why he created a helper fit for me? Because he knew I needed help. Literally, I need help. I need that. Men, you need that. Ladies, you need to be the helper for the man that God has created you to be. Do you know what kind of helper that is? One that for the glory of God, we can serve him together better than we could single. That doesn't mean if you're single, you can't serve the glory of God. No, you can. But he's created you, man and woman, come together to be together, to complement, not to compete. We're complementary of one another, not competing with one another. She's not trying to see how she can take over my roles, and I'm not trying to figure out how to take over her roles. There are things that God has created us, equal in rank, equal in dignity, equal in value before him. We have different roles. We have different roles. I can never birth a baby, despite what popular media wants to tell us. I am not a nursing person. My wife is a nursing wife. Why do I say this? See, we're sitting in a culture that is telling us things that are contrary to the word of God. But if we go back to how God designed this, from the very beginning, we see this is how he's designed us. He's created us on purpose to make us a portrait of him in God's image. Do you realize he put God's image in you so that you could image him to the world? So that females and males might be able to say, for the glory of God, I'm created the way I am. This is what he's called me. Number three, quickly, not only is it God's plan, not only is it God's portrait, but it's God's purpose. Notice in verse 28. Verse 28 says, and God blessed them, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves over the earth. Life is not random. You were created, all of us, with a divine purpose. Do you realize that? Look at verse 28. I want you to see it. Do you realize? Here is your purpose. If you've ever wondered, what is my purpose? Here it is. To be fruitful, to multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. This is why God has created us. This was the purpose for which he has placed us here. And this is why this is so important, is that in our world today, we are being told that we, specifically in the Western world, I was reading an article this week, just kind of, you know, this. I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm kind of tired of the carbon footprint stuff. I will say this. I've been called to have dominion to rule over the earth. I need to care for it. I need to take care of it just like I would take care of my family. That's part of it. But I also want you to know, to have dominion over the earth, I've been made creative. I'm to design. We're to be able to work in our world so that the world can prosper and flourish. We're to take what he's given us, and we utilize that for the prosperity of cities and nations, and so that the people can continue to grow and develop so that the gospel can go forth. This is what we're being called to do. This is what the scripture speaks to us about. Did you realize that? And I was reading this week in a medical journal called the Hopkins Bloomberg. Let me make sure I get this correct. Hopkins Bloomberg Public Health. Two PhDs have written a scientific article to let us know that we can help the world and our environment if the Western world will reduce or stop having babies, because then our carbon footprint would go down. Do you realize that in our world today, Japan, Russia, and many Western European countries, aren't even replicating their population any longer. In the world today, we're not even keeping up in population in the world. We're not even replacing ourselves. It takes 2.1 births for us to be able to replicate population, repopulate. Demographers tell us that by 2100, that we will no longer be able to fulfill even the replicate the population that we have. We'll be down to 1.9 births. Folks, our mandate is to be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth. Some of you right now are a little tense. Listen, the Lord is in charge of all how we have babies. Well, we're in charge of having babies. He's in charge of whether or not they come. He gives you the ability and the conscience to be able to decide how many you want to have, those types of things. But I want to tell you something. I say this to young couples all the time. You love Jesus. You're following him. I see the glory of God working out in your family. Have babies. If you can't have babies any longer, there are plenty that need to be adopted. If you're worried about, I can't keep up with Mr. Jones and Mrs. Jones, and wrong reason. I'm not saying you need to have 10, 15, 20 babies. I am saying God has given us a mandate to be fruitful and multiply. Do you realize that God has also given us a mandate spiritually because of the Imago Dei in us to be fruitful and multiply the witness of the gospel? You know, one of the reasons that we develop and we want the earth, we want to have dominion and rule, is so that we can create. Do you realize we live in a day and time in which technology has been created by man, given by God, created by man? Airplanes that can go to the other side of the world in 12 hours. Cars that we can get in, and what used to take months to get from here to Dallas, we can do in 12 hours. We have the ability we're called to be fruitful and multiply the gospel, just like we are to fill the earth and subdue it. Do you realize in Genesis, the word that God placed on Adam and Eve was a word called, they were to be called vice regents. Do you know what a regent is? Someone who represents the king. They were to represent the king. They were to create, develop, have dominion, just like God created and had dominion. They were to rule and subdue under the authority of God. This is who we are as followers of Christ. The New Testament calls it ambassadors for his name, so that we can go in his name, representing him, sharing the gospel, so that the gospel is multiplied. Believers are born into the kingdom. This is the plan of God. You see, you were created male and female because you can reach people better than I can reach people. I can reach people better than you, some people better than you, because God has created us and shaped us in such a way that he's put people in your life. Ladies, the scripture tells us that the older women disciple the younger women. The older men disciple the younger men. This is part of that creation, subduing and filling. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 22, a very relevant passage for us in the day and time in which we're walking in right now? Matthew 22, verse 21, they come to Jesus. These people are trying to catch him, and they ask him, should we be paying taxes? Sounds like a pretty relevant question for us today, doesn't it? Here and coming up. Should we be paying taxes? Jesus said, give me a coin. Anybody got a coin? They gave him a coin. He pulled that coin up and he said, whose picture is on this coin? You remember this story, anybody? Whose picture is on this coin? They said, Caesar's. And he said, render to Caesar. Render to Caesar. What is Caesar's? Genesis chapter 1 tells us that you and I were created in the image of God. Do you realize whether you're a follower of Christ or not, you were created in his image? Whether you were a follower of him or not, you were created in his image. Today, he's called you here if you're not a follower of his, because he wants to put his spirit in you so that you might be able to image him to the world. As a follower of Jesus Christ in here, did you realize that the reason you were created in his image is so that you can image him to those who do not know him? Anybody heard of NIL today? Name, image, and likeness. It's all over the college sports. These college students who they are helping these big universities, and they're winning all these games, selling all these jerseys, money rolling in. And they said, listen, this isn't fair. We're not getting a piece of the pie. So there's now a new thing in the college athletics, name, image, and licensing. You can license your name. The schools can give you money based on if they want you to come. I want to say this to you. You realize that you have some of you in here who are followers of Jesus, you already have an NIL deal, don't you? Because you follow Jesus Christ, his name is on you. In fact, you've been bought with a price. You are not your own. Do you know what the reward is? Is that one day you'll stand before him and he will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. If you don't follow Jesus Christ today, his image and his likeness is in you. And today he wants to give you his name. Give you his name. Christian. Follower of Christ. All of that in three verses. If we can get Genesis 1 through 3 down. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. I'm asking, would you save people today? Father, would you do a work in the lives of those who do not know you and those who do know you as Lord and Savior today? It's in the name of Jesus I ask these things today. Amen.